Hey everybody, this is One Simple Truth, and on this podcast we take an issue that is pressing for the day and we look at God's all-sufficient word to see how it applies. Today's topic and tomorrow's is going to be on the abuse of authority. What is the Christian response to the abuse of authority? We're going to take it in two parts. In that first we want to talk about what authority God has given and what he's done to ensure that it stays upright and just. And then the second part tomorrow, we'll talk about our response when it doesn't uphold its part of being fair and just. So grab your cup of coffee. Mine today is in the classic Pottery Barn dinnerware white. I am drinking a Trade Fairs brewed or Trade Fairs roasted Chiapas, and it is delicious today, especially because it's with my wife's banana bread. All right, you got yours? So like always, this is kind of a conversation across the table or a little discipleship time across the table, looking at some scriptures together. Abuse of authority and justice, that's our topic. So let's start with this. First of all, we're going to recognize that God has given authority structures in this world to mitigate the effects of sin, provide justice, and promote the spiritual and physical flourishing of mankind. There were authority structures before the fall, but all the more necessary after the fall for there to be authority structures. And God has outlined some helpful stipulations throughout the scriptures to talk about the quality of the people who are to be leading. So in Deuteronomy 16:18, in this restatement of the law, Moses writes this to Israel as they are about to take the promised land. You shall appoint judges and officers in your towns that the Lord your God is giving you, according to your tribes, and they shall judge the people with righteous judgment. You shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality, and you shall not accept a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and subverts the cause of the righteous. Justice, and only justice, you shall follow, that you may live and inherit the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So with that, we see God's purpose for justice. If we were to jump back to Exodus 18, we would see the kinds of people God wants to be placed in positions of authority or to deciding matters, their moral quality and their spiritual quality. And this is good rulership, good use of authority in this case. Then one of these highlight verses of what it should look like in 2 Samuel 23:2-4, when David is speaking about what godly leadership or godly ruling should be like, he says this: "The God of Israel has spoken, the Rock of Israel has said to me, when one rules justly over men, ruling in the fear of God, he dawns on them like the morning light, like the sun shining forth on a cloudless morning, like rain that makes grass to sprout from the earth. So he should rule clearly with a blessing that makes them flourish." And the purpose of any authority is to mitigate the effect of sin, provide justice, promote the spiritual and physical flourishing of mankind. David says that. Paul summarizes it in a phrase: "For he," this is the authority, "he is God's servant for your good." And he's specifically speaking about the government. Now, there's authority in all structures. Like I said, authority is pre-fall. There is authority structure in the Godhead. Read 1 Corinthians 11 for that. And God the Father over God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. There is then, in practical cases, there are rulers of a nation, region, or city. There is the husband in a marriage, parents with children, bosses with employees. Read Ephesians 5:22-6:9 for those. Then there are elders in a church. Hebrews 13:7 talks about authority structures. Now, when those authorities or the authority structure exploit those under their authority to sinfully profit from them, harm them, suppress them, that is when we're talking about abuse of authority. So when it causes sinful profit, sinful harm, sinful suppression, all of these are abuse of authority. Rulers should not exploit their people. Judges shouldn't take bribes and corrupt justice. A nation should not exploit refugees or immigrants. The rich were not to exploit the poor. Masters were not to exploit or abuse slaves. In three kinds of slavery in the Bible, there was what something that's akin to indentured servitude. Somebody is going to starve to death, is out of resources, gives themselves in slavery to another person for 7 years, and at 7 years later they are freed. That was one kind that was talked about. Another one is warfare slavery, when two enemy nations would go in conflict. The loser, instead of killing all of the people, would take some as slaves. And that's a mixed bag. The third one is clearly sinful, and that is what Paul would call, he called a person like this an enslaver, but that was what we would see as kidnap slavery or chattel slavery. Kidnap slavery meaning somebody just goes and steals people, puts them in bondage, gives them no way out, forces them to work, and then they become a commodity on a market. So those were that was a slavery that was condemned in the Bible. In all cases, there was regulation about the abuse, in which case a slave could appeal to a higher authority. So masters weren't to abuse slaves. Husbands should not abuse or neglect their wives. Parents should not abuse or neglect their children. And there would be examples throughout the law codes of the Old Testament for the governing of Israel, and repeated in a number of ways in the New Testament. And I want to say this: God cares about and will judge all abuse of authority, either in this life or the next. No one cares more about abuse of power than God. The supreme example of the use of power is Jesus emptying himself of his rights and privileges and setting those aside and becoming the servant of all so that he could be the savior of his people. That's the ultimate example, that God himself, while he has authority and right to rule, uses that authority for the service and flourishing of his servants. He may demand service, but he also supplies the joy, the flourishing of our service, and is the ultimate servant to us. So here are some examples of this. Isaiah 30, 12 through 14 talks about a temporal judgment coming. It says, "Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and rely on them, therefore this iniquity shall be to you like a breach in a high wall, bulging out and about to collapse, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. And its breaking is like that of a potter's vessel that is smashed so ruthlessly that among its fragments not a shard is found with which to take fire from the hearth or to dig up water out of the cistern." So there was a picture of utter devastation because Israel did not end the oppression and perverseness in its country. So God cares more about it than anyone, and he promises in those great promises in Revelation 7 and Revelation 21 that he will bring all of his children who have been oppressed into his fold, give them rest, comfort, ease, and wipe away every tear. So God cares and will act, if not in this life, but in the next. So how does a Christian respond to it? Well, we have multiple parts. I'm going to look at two parts right now. The first thing a Christian does is entrust himself to God. This comes from 1 Peter 2:21 by our example of our Lord Jesus. It says, "When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly." I'm going to argue tomorrow that there are appropriate ways to deal with abuse of authority, or to go over that authority to a greater authority and appeal to a greater authority. There are ways to do that, but they cannot be before this one. I think much of the problem in current cultural reactions to the issues of authority is that the first thing, it's not the first impulse of the Christian to entrust himself to God, but rather to seek his own justice for himself. The Lord Jesus did not do that. The Lord Jesus entrusted himself to the one who judges justly on his way to the cross so that he could pay for our sin. And the Lord Jesus was resurrected on the third day and was justified. He ascended to heaven and now sits at the right hand of God. The lowly one was exalted. So not in this life at first was Jesus vindicated, but in the next life for sure. That is the pattern for all believers. If it's not in this life, it certainly will be in the next. And there can be a rest of one's soul if the attempt to achieve earthly justice falls flat or doesn't happen, because God is still going to take care of his own in due time. Then there is a second response, and that is the care to not return evil for evil, and instead overcome evil with good. Listen how the Apostle Paul talks about this in Romans 12, 17 through 21. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The first place to start when we see abuse of authority or we experience it from someone else is to entrust ourselves to God, and then not to be overcome by evil, but instead overcome evil with good. And that is the prayerful and heartfelt place to start for those. If you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, Jesus is the supreme example for your sin as well as he has for mine. Jesus endured unjust treatment upon the cross to pay for our sin. You will never find hope or freedom by getting justice in this world, and you will be blind to your own sin and the injustices you have committed until you have trusted him. And I would urge you to do that today. If these podcasts are helpful for you, rate them. Tell us what you think. Join us tomorrow as we talk about the practical steps on making appeals to authority. That is one simple truth for today.